this lesson and 1,000 others literally are at www.lifegatechurch.com. So you can go find anything you want to study in God's Word there. 400 or 500 series. Help yourself and you'll find it. And also, if you're looking for us on Facebook, it's LifeGate, two words, LifeGate Church. Find us there. Like us. That'll be good. Before I get started today, I just wanted to relay and tell you one thing that about this week. You know, last Friday, the 26th, Judy and I were married 48 years. Yeah, yeah. That's an accomplishment for her. But, you know, it takes a little while to count to 48, right? I mean, it takes... And when you've done something 48 times, you think you get pretty good at it. But what's so funny is neither of us remembered it until about 10:30 Friday night. We'd been to the funeral home. We'd come home. We're getting ready to go to bed. And she starts laughing. And I look at her and say, what? And she says, I just saw the date. And so your mind, you know, you starts racing. You know, what's the date? What? And I said, it's the 26th. It's my anniversary. And I looked at her and I said, happy anniversary. But we both forgot. She said, it's okay, but said, don't forget the one in 2 years. Don't forget the one in 2 years. I've only forgotten one, or now two, in 48 years. But that's the first one that she's ever slipped by. That was just a hoot. Well, we are talking about and we're studying staying positive when. And, of course, the when is when negative things are happening in your life. God can't bless us when we're negative. He can't bless us when we're talking about people. He can't bless us when we're angry. He can't bless us when we're angry with Him and when we've turned our back and we're straying from Him. He can't bless us at that time. So we're learning that we've got to find a way to stay positive. And so what we're going to talk about today is when we have enemies. Now, I want off the top to know that you have enemies. And everybody is, Jesus said so. He didn't say you would never go through life without enemies. He said, you're going to have enemies. He says, but what you do is you bless them, right? You pray for them. And so this is what we want to see. How does this work roll out? So we're going to be talking about it. We all know that God blesses us. He blesses our lives. His favor is upon us. He blesses us physically. He blesses us emotionally. He blesses us mentally. He blesses us in our family, in our finances. He blesses us in every single area possible. God blesses us, and we know that. But what we don't realize and we don't know is that God uses our enemies to bless us. See, when that person came against you, and they said all those negative things and vicious things about you, and they spread all this gossip all over the place about you, or maybe when they literally attempted to destroy you, destroy what you stand for, destroy your marriage, your family, whatever, it wasn't to stop you, and it wasn't to put you down. It was actually to thrust you into the next level of living that God has planned for you. We don't realize that, but this is exactly what the Lord desires for our lives to take place when this happens. Now, none of us like it. We don't like it when that stuff's happening. But honestly, if you look at the truth of the thing, you cannot go to the full destiny of what God has for you without those enemies in your life. But what we have got to do, what we've got to understand, is we've got to stay positive and realize that it's just a part of God's plan for us. So this is what I really want to talk about today, and I want us to grasp and understand, because we really need to stay positive when our enemies are attacking. And maybe I can help you understand this a little bit today. Now, see, the first thing I want to say is that David would have been nothing more than a shepherd boy without Goliath. He would have never made the Bible without Goliath. I want to read you this passage in notes are messed up. It's in 1 Samuel. It's in chapter 17. And I'll find it in a minute. I'll read it up there. Put it up there. I'll read it. That's fine. It says, David said to the Philistine, now the Philistine is Goliath. David said to the Philistine, you come against me, and that's what our enemies do, is they come against us. You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. They come against us to destroy us. They come against us with everything they can. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. I'm coming against you. I'm taking the high road. I'm staying in trust in God. I'm doing it God's way. I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down, and cut off your head. Now, David stayed positive. He stayed in his trust in God. But what we don't realize is that Goliath was created for David. See, after David took his head off, we don't hear much about Goliath other than David carrying his head around as a trophy. That's all we really hear about him. See, David had a giant enemy. A giant enemy. But that enemy wasn't given to David to stop David. What that enemy was given to David was to push David forward into David's next level, to thrust David forward into where God wanted David to go. And what we learn about that is the bigger the enemy, the greater the promotion. The bigger your enemy, the greater God's promotion is going to be in your life and the level in which you're going to go into. See, this is how it is. See, it was a giant enemy, but it was used just to promote David, not to stop David. What if I told you today that there are divine enemies for you, created just for you, divine ordained Goliaths waiting for you in your path? See, many of you have already faced giant enemies. Many of you are facing giant enemies right now. And if you haven't, you will be. There are giant enemies that are coming against you. But they're not set there to stop you. They're not set there to push you down. They're there to push you up. To push you up to the new level, the next level, to your full destiny that God has planned for you. Well, see, you probably don't realize it, and they certainly don't. Those enemies certainly don't realize it. But they're really a gift to you. They're a present for you. What they will do for you is bless you if you know how to handle them and take care of it correctly and not go negative. If you can do it God's way and declare the word of the Lord to it, what it's going to do is bring you forward, not push you backward. It's going to push you up into the place that God has for you. But you got to smile. You got to stay positive. You can't get negative and start talking about people and putting down saying negative things and getting up your little army to go battle against their little army and, you know, and spread rumors and doing the same things they're doing. You got to learn how to do it God's way. Now, what's interesting here is that God could have used Saul to promote David. He could have used David's friends to establish David. Saul had the ability. He had the authority to do it. He had the relations. He could have swung it. He could have promoted David. But what God decided to do with David in David's case was establish David through his enemies. Isn't that interesting? And it was that way all through David's life. Even when Saul became David's enemy, David maintained the high road. David did it God's way. David stayed positive. Saul was out to kill David. Saul chased him down, throwing javelins at him, trying to kill him. But what David said is, touch not God's anointing. Let's stay positive about this. Let's do this thing correctly. Now, what we learn from that is that you don't have to go around buttering up people. You don't have to go around kissing up to people. God doesn't have to bless you through your friends and people who like you. God will use those trying to push you down to push you up. And we need to learn how this actually happens. See, we know, and we've studied it before, in life, we have these divine appointments. We did an entire series on divine appointments. People that God has set out there in our future, in our path of life, that are set there already waiting for us. And as soon as we cross their paths, then what they'll do is they'll open doors for us. They'll make ways to promote us. They're divine appointments that God has stationed already in our life to direct us and lead us and push us towards our full destinies. But what we don't realize is there are also divine enemies out there. Strategically positioned, divinely appointed, made just for us. Sitting there waiting on us when we get there. And what they're going to do is they're going to push you forward too, but they're going to do it in a totally different way. What they're going to attempt to do is to stop you, criticize you. They're going to talk negatively about you. And they will crucify you if they can. There will be people in your life so mean, so angry at you, so hateful and so mad with you that if they could kill you, they would get by with it. They would literally crucify. They wished you had never been born. They are giants. They are divine enemies that God has stationed there for you, but not to stop you, but to push you forward. And if we don't understand this, you see, if we don't understand that they're there, then what we're going to do is we end up becoming very negative. And we become discouraged and bitter instead of encouraged and better. And we start blaming God. We start talking about people. We'd say, God, if you really loved me, you wouldn't let this happen to me. You wouldn't let these people talk about me. You wouldn't let them come against my family. You wouldn't let them come against what I love. Where are you, God? And we get all negative. And we do the totally opposite thing that we need to do. We have to stay positive so that God will. If we handle it correctly and we stay in faith, we continue praying, we continue giving, we can continue serving. We bless our enemies like Jesus said to do. Pray for our enemies like Jesus said to do. Stay on the positive side of it. Then what happens is God takes that and He establishes you. And He takes you and He uses your enemies to really push you into the next level and to the next dimension and to more towards your full destiny. Now, many of you remember what happened here in 1996. Some of you were here. And others of you have heard of it. Maybe some of you haven't, but many of you have. We came under a full attack. Enemies were attempting to literally destroy this church. And we've never seen people wanted to destroy a church like that. But they wanted to destroy our church and destroy me. And they were doing a good job. I mean, they were doing a well-organized campaign against us. Finances were failing, and it was bad. It really did look bad at the time. People were telling me what they were doing. They were out in the field like Goliath, boasting how Delbert's going down, how Lifegate Church is going down, and we're going to make sure it happens, you know. And they were boasting like Goliath. And at the same time, though, this thing happened, that it was happening, this holy determination stirred up in my wife's inside, like David against Goliath. She got stirred up. Now, my son was with us here, working here at the time, and my daughter, she was still here with us. And so my son and my daughter and myself, we were ready to move. We wanted to go back. We'd never met such mean people. My son and myself had been offered a positions at another church, and we were really considering it. We were getting beaten up pretty bad, you know, and we were ready to go. But that holy determination within her, you know, it would come out, and she would say, "No crazy people are going to run me out of town and destroy what I and my family have worked so hard to start and establish." And it would fire us up, you know. It would transmit into us, and we'd get pumped up again. Yeah. We'd go, you know, we're going back at it again. But then eventually we'd get down again. We'd start talking about moving again and all this stuff. And she said, she'd fire back up again. She said, "You guys can move if you want to. I'm not moving. No crazy people are going to drive us out of this town, drive me out of this town, and going to destroy what my family and I have worked so hard to establish." And we'd fire back up again. Now, what I want you to know is that God will allow into your life haters. He will allow into your life evil speakers, liars. He will allow into your life the meanest people you can imagine. But it's for a purpose. It's for a purpose. And one of the purposes is so that you will stay stirred up and you will stay focused and you will overcome that thing. You will become a resistant yourself. See, one of the things that it does for us is it stirs us up even though we want to quit and we want to get out of it. That holy determination that gets stirred up within us won't let us quit if for no other reason to not give them the victory. To not let them see us fail. We will stand up against it, come hell or high water. We will stand up against it just so they won't win. And God will allow that to happen to you so that you will get stirred up. And so that you will remain and stay focused. Now, It's interesting when you think about it, because God used those people who attacked us in 96 more than he used us then, and more than he used our allies then. See, if it hadn't been for them, we wouldn't have gotten the blessing. And if it hadn't been for them, I wouldn't have prayed so hard. You wouldn't have prayed so hard. And if it hadn't been for their opposition, I would have quit. But that holy thing stirs up inside of you, and you'd make the determination, I am not going to let them win. But there would be no life gate had it not been for that stirring up and for those people coming along and keeping me so stirred up that I would not quit. Now, we read this scripture before a couple of weeks back, but I want to bring it out again. And it's in Psalms 23. And it is the psalm where the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's see if I can find it here. Yeah, got it. Psalm 23, verse 5, it says this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's the part I want you to hold on to. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now, what I want you to see is this is after you've gone through the valley of the shadow of death, that this table is prepared. But what I really want you to notice is that this table is prepared in the presence of your enemies. It's not prepared behind closed doors. It's sitting out there so your enemies can watch you feast, can watch the blessings that God put upon you. Well, in 96, if you recall, you recall how that rolled out and how that happened. As well he should, the Lord spoke to Judy as to what we should do. She's the one who had the fire. I don't know if he could speak to me at that time, but he could speak to her and told her what we needed to do, and we did it. And within 20 minutes in this very room, God moved upon the hearts of people. And enough was given to not only pay our bills that we owed, but to pay off our mortgage. But not only there did he stop. We had enough come in that we could pave our parking lot. And not only there did we stop, but we could refurbish this facility. Now, that wouldn't have happened without the enemies. And God did it in a way that it was in the presence of our enemies. It was a table set for us to feast upon in the presence of our enemies. It was on the front page of the newspaper, us burning the mortgage note on the front page of the newspaper. It was broadcast on the radio. It was shown on television in Somerville and up in Fort Oglethorpe at the time. And for 20 years, our enemies have had to drive by here and say, we thought we had them. We thought we had them. How in the world did that happen? Did they make it? Well, no, you didn't have us. You just became a trophy for me to carry around and talk about. See, I want you to understand, when you face these enemies, the bigger the enemy, the more the promotion. The bigger the Goliath, the better the promotion that we all experience. Now, some of you are facing Goliaths right now. And it doesn't have to be a person. See, it can be a health enemy. It can be a giant health enemy. It can be an economic enemy, a financial enemy, big one. It can be a relationship enemy, such as a divorce. You know how people come enemies. They once loved each other, but now they're deadly enemies. They hate each other. It can be a relationship enemy, such as that. It could be an occupational enemy. It could be a bad boss who dislikes you, who comes against you in a hard way. It can be a fellow worker, an employee that works alongside of you, saying things about you and trying to harm you. It can be an occupational enemy. It could be a family enemy. Something's coming against your family, trying to destroy your family. But it's still a giant. But what I want you to know is that God is now preparing for you a table for you to feast upon in the presence of that enemy. And what you've got to do is you've got to do what David said, and you've got to do what she did. You've got to stand up to that thing, and you got to declare to it, you are not taking me out. You are not running me out of town. I don't care how big of a health enemy you are. You are not taking me down. You are not taking me out. I don't care how big of a financial enemy you are. You are not taking away from me what I have worked so hard to establish. You are not taking me down. And it won't matter what kind of relationship enemy it is. You are not moving me. I don't care how hard you come against me. You are not destroying me. You are not running me out of town. You are not taking me down. You're taking me up. I don't care what kind of occupational enemy or bad boss you've got or a person that works with you, how bad they talk about you. You've got to realize that what they're there for is a divine encounter that God has established for you, and they're there to push you forward, not back. They're there to push you up, not down. They're there to establish you and to promote you if you just handle it correctly. I don't care what kind of situation comes against you in your home. I don't care what kind of a situation comes against you in your family. You cannot let it take you down. You got to say, you're not taking me down. You're not taking me out. You're taking me up. I know now God is preparing a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And I am going onward and I am going upward. You are not taking me down. The very thing that is trying to take me down is actually going to push me up. When you do that, you're going to move to a new level of life. Now, we don't think about it much, but actually Judas was used as an enemy to push Jesus to the throne, push Jesus to his glory. Whose idea was the betrayal? Was the idea to betray Jesus Judas's idea? Whose idea was it? It was God's idea. I want you to know. See, it was God's idea who planned it from the very foundations of the world. And we read about this in the book of Acts. Let me, if I can find it for you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 16. This is Peter speaking in the upper room. He says, and said, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke how long? Long ago. See, when did the Holy Spirit speak it? Long ago, through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. Now, it was long ago. It was 1,000 years. David wrote about the betrayal of Jesus 1,000 years before it actually happened, before it actually took place. 1,000 years. See, Judas was created for Jesus. Think about this. If it hadn't have been for Judas, there'd have been no betrayal. If there'd been no betrayal, there'd have been no arrest. If there'd have been no arrest, there'd have been no trials. Had there been no betrayal, arrest, and trials, there'd have been no crucifixion and no cross, no blood. Had there been no cross, there'd have been no redemption. There'd have been no resurrection. Without a resurrection, there'd be no salvation. See, Mary was vital. Mary was intricate in the story of redemption. Mary, the mother of Jesus. The disciples were intricate. The disciples were vital in the story of redemption. But just as vital and just as intricate and irreplaceable was Judas Iscariot in the story of redemption. Redemption in part came because of an enemy. Redemption in part came because of Judas Iscariot. We don't think about it like that. But that's exactly what happens. It's exactly what happens when we have. Now, what do we learn from this? What do we learn from this? Well, one thing that we learn is that when you are betrayed, and you will be, it's not to put you down. It's to push you forward. See, Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. Jesus knew it, but he also knew that God was going to take the betrayal and glorify him, glorify Jesus. See, what we've got to learn is that when we're betrayed, it's not to put us down. It's to push us forward. It's not to harm you. It's to glorify you. It's to bring you into your glory. Enemies are set there, planned by God, created by God for you, not to stop you, but to push you forward into your full destiny, into your throne, to where God wants you to be. It's not fair when it happens. It's not fun when it happens. It's not pleasurable at all. We hate it. It hurts. It's painful to us. It's never fun. But if God allowed your enemies to crucify you, he's going to take that crucifixion and glorify you. and push you to your throne, to your full destiny. It's not there to stop you. It's there to establish you. It's not there to push you down. It's there to push you forward and push you up. It's there to push you into your promised land. And when these things happen to us, you know, we fight against them. We get angry. We resist. We resist anything that doesn't go our way. And we get bitter. And we curse people and we talk negatively about people and we turn our backs on God. We don't understand what's going on. And I am the leader here. I have been so full of hate and resentment and bitterness. I know. But the longer I live, the more I learn that nothing happens unless it's allowed by God. Now, I can't explain all of that, but I know it's not the devil that planned Judas. I know it wasn't the devil who planned Goliath. And I know in my life that if it happened, God allowed it because God is God. Now, people cannot stop you from fulfilling your destiny. Problems cannot stop you from fulfilling your destiny and your purpose. If God allowed it, it was for the purpose of thrusting you toward your throne, down the path that you need to go for your destiny, to fulfill your purpose in life. And down that path, there are going to be divine Goliaths, giant enemies. Down that path, there are going to be Judases, people who are going to betray you and hurt you. It's down. It's inevitable. And they are enemies for us. They're there. But also, what we've got to realize is that, see, we thank God, and we should thank God for our friends. We should thank God for our friends. But we've got to learn how to thank God for our enemies. The children of Israel were in bondage. They were in slavery in Egypt. It came time for them to be delivered. So God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. God will speak to you through anything. And he spoke to Moses through a burning bush. And he'll even speak to you through me. God will speak to you through anything. And he spoke to Moses through this burning bush. And he said, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses did, but Pharaoh didn't. He went, Moses told him, and what actually happened is Pharaoh made it harder on the Israelites. They had to make so many bricks every day, and he took away the straw that was used to make bricks, and he said, you got to get your own straw, but you got to make as many bricks, and he made it harder on them. And then there is this amazing passage that we read, and we don't understand it, so maybe now it'll open up to you just a little bit more. I want to read it to you. It's in Exodus chapter 7, verse 3. But I, now who is I here? I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Who is I here? Who? God? Is it God? Okay, it's not the devil. That's what I want you to see. It's not God hardening Pharaoh's heart. It's not the devil hardening Pharaoh's heart. It is God hardening Pharaoh's heart. But I, God, will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. When I will lay my hand on Egypt and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. Now, what I want you to see is that God will harden your Pharaoh's heart. He hardened Pharaoh's heart against the Israelites. And they didn't like it when it was happening. Well, you don't like it when it's happening. But God has a plan, and the plan is to deliver them. The plan isn't only, though, to deliver them. The plan is to bless them. But mostly the plan is to thrust them into the next level of life so that they can get on the journey to their promised land. And then we read, after all the plagues that happened in chapter 12 of Exodus, we read this in verse 35. It says, the Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked, that's interesting, and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. And the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites. In the King James Version, it says he gave them favor. God put favor on the people. After all the problems they caused, they still had favor because God caused it to happen. And they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. So like a victorious army, they plundered the Egyptians. Now they didn't like it when it was happening, but they liked the results of it. They didn't like the hardness when it was going on. Nobody does. But they appreciated what came after it, the blessings that came after it, the gold and the silver and the clothes and all the blessings that followed and getting out of Egypt and getting on with their journey and heading for their promised land. I want to tell you about my friends, Kevin and Galen Robinson. They lived in middle Georgia. And I was up on a ladder back there one day. And Kevin comes walking in. And he starts telling me the story. Kevin worked for a company, an organization down in middle Georgia. And they did cutbacks, and Kevin was cut back. Kevin was cut. Well, Kevin found occupation in a totally different avenue, in a totally different realm. And he went to work there. And in this place, they trained him a little bit. And then they sent him here to our city, to this city, to go to work, to manage. And so he comes, and he was looking for a church. So he comes in here, he meets me, and he comes to church that Sunday. The next week, he has his whole family up here, and they come to church. They've been here ever since, serving the Lord and ministering to us and serving me and blessing me and being friends. And so we've done life together for all these years. So anyway, he's here, and so he gets a couple of promotions, and then he's offered a job in the same line of work but with a different company. And so he takes it. He goes to work there. But he has a Pharaoh for a boss. He is cruel. And he treated Kevin badly. Now, I don't know how well you know Kevin. But if you can't get along with Kevin, you can't get along with anybody. You have a problem. And this guy had a problem. Now, so I'm aware of the time that Kevin's going through. He's relaying it to me, wanting me to pray for him and all these things. And so one day my phone rings in my office. Office down there at that time in the other building. And he said, can I come by and see you? I said, sure, what's going on? He tells me just a little bit that he'd been terminated. He'd been fired. I said, sure, come on. He comes to here and he's telling me the story. And of course, it's embarrassing when that happens to you. It's embarrassing. You feel like a failure. And then also there's this bitterness that you have inside of you and anger, resentment, all those things going on inside of him. Of course, I knew they were there in Kevin. And so I told Kevin what he needed to do. Now, he and I were talking about it this week, and I went through the story with him to make sure I remembered it correctly. and he told me, he said, let me tell you what I told him. I said, Kevin, here's what you got to do. I said, you got to go to your prayer closet. I said, I don't know where your prayer closet is, but where his was kneeling on his knees beside his bed. I said, you got to go to your prayer closet. And I says, and you've got to forgive them. I said, you've got to pray for that organization. I says, but specifically, you've got to pray for that Pharaoh. I said, you have got to bless him. And you got to speak blessings upon him. Kevin said, told me this week, he said, when you said that, I remember looking up at you and thinking, you are crazy. You are speaking some kind of foreign language. Can anybody do that? And he says, but because he respected me so much that he went home and did it. And he had to go right by one of the places on his way home. There was a part of the organization in which had just terminated him. And he said he was so full of bitterness and anger. He passed by that place, you know. But he said he went home and he did what I asked him to do. He prayed. He said the first time it didn't really take. He didn't really mean it. Second time he really didn't mean it. But he said by the third, fourth time, I started meaning it. He says, and I got my smile back. And I started being positive again. And in the course of the conversations that we had ensuing all of this, I asked Kevin, I said, Kevin, what is it that you really enjoy doing in life? And I said, I don't think that you're made to do what you're doing. You know, I don't see that. Maybe you are, but I don't see that. What do you really enjoy doing? I don't sense you really enjoy doing this. He said, no, I don't. Well, what is it that you like? He says, I like to do computers. I like to work with computers, on computers. I said, well, why don't you pursue that? Why don't you prepare? Why don't you do whatever you need to do and then put out some resumes concerning that and see what comes, see what God does, you know. So he did that, and shortly he obtained a job, an occupation, doing just that, working on computers every day, doing what he loves to do every day. And he has done that since 1995, for 20 years, he's been working on computers and doing exactly what he enjoys doing in life. So the Pharaoh didn't push him down. Now, Kevin got an immediate increase in salary going and doing the new job. So that Pharaoh didn't push him down. That Pharaoh pushed him up. See, God used that enemy to push Kevin forward on the path of his full destiny. But it doesn't end there. You see, and I'll tell you Galen's story one time when it's appropriate. But between him and Galen, we're going through this thing now. And they have been, for many years, some of the biggest givers at LifeGate Church. Now, what does that mean? What that means is they make more money than most of us. Pharaoh didn't push him down. Pharaoh wasn't created to stop him. Pharaoh was created to push Kevin forward, push Kevin on so that he could get onto the path, the journey to his promised land. I want you to know, your enemy, your Goliath, your Judas, your Pharaoh isn't going to stop you, can't stop you. They're there for your divine destiny. Now, here's what I want you to pick up today. Number one, nothing is going to happen. Your Goliath, your Pharaoh, your Judas isn't going to happen unless God allows it. And God's not going to allow it unless he wants to use it to bless you, to cause you to go up and forward, not down and stop. Maybe you have a Goliath today. I want you to realize he's created specifically for you. He is your divine Goliath. He is ordained for you. And if you will handle it right, what he's going to do is thrust you forward into your divine destiny, towards where God wants you to go. I want you to realize God has a table prepared for you. He's preparing it right now for you. If you'll handle it right, you'll feast in the presence of your enemies. Don't worry about your enemies. They're going to see you. They're going to know that God's blessing you. Don't worry about your enemies. Just keep on going. You're going to have hard-hearted pharaohs. They're going to be hard on you. But don't worry about that. Don't worry about pharaohs. See, the same thing that's going to deliver you is going to drown Pharaoh. You've got to realize that God has this all planned out. Don't worry about your Pharaoh. Just keep on moving. Realize that God has put him there. Not to be hard on you specifically, but so he can bless you, he can deliver you, and he can thrust you into the journey to your promised land. Don't worry about Judas. Don't get all hung up on people that betray you. They're going to hang themselves. They're going to hang themselves. Don't get hung up on them. God'll take care of that. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, says the Lord. Don't get hung up on that. That's going to take care of itself. What you've got to do is you've just got to realize what they're there for is for your glory. What they're there for is, it may cause you to be crucified, but when you get done with the crucifixion, you're going to go on to glory. Because today it may seem like Friday, and you're hanging on that cross. You're dying. You're in pain. You're hurting. But I promise you, Sunday is coming. And when Sunday comes, there's resurrection. When Sunday comes, God is going to raise you up. He's going to bring you to your fulfillment and your purpose in life. He's going to bring you to your full destiny. He's going to bring you to your throne. And he's going to bring you to your glory. He's going to use it to bring you glory, not destruction. Let me pray for you.